Good morning, brothers and sisters. As you may see in your bulletin, the scripture, the Bible text for today is from the book of Psalm 71. I will read the first 14 verses, and later on, Pastor Roland will read the rest of the psalm. So Psalm 71, please turn in your Bibles. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel man. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a potent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accuser perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. Till here the word of God.
Well, in a moment we're going to read the remainder of Psalm 7. I lost my dad in the 1980s, and my mom went on to live well over 30 years. And those of you who've lost parents, you don't actually realize what it's like until it happens. So one's on a bit of an emotional roller coaster that may come across, but that's just life. That's how it is. But I can say that the timing couldn't have been better from the days we spent with our family. I have four brothers, one who lives in Australia, two in Cape Town, one in Johannesburg. My mom had seven grandchildren, and some of you have been very kind. You don't know my mom, but you've said to me you were praying and you wanted to know what kind of a person my mom was. I didn't even know until I was at... when you're living away from home, you don't realize the impact until this last week. And maybe some of that will come across in the message. My mom, I can say, had a cheerful testimony. In verse 7, this person who's an older person says, I've become a sign to many people, and in a sense kind of summarizes the life of my mom in a way that I wasn't even aware of. But let me read the rest of the scripture, and then I'll pray. So I'm going to read from verse 15 of Psalm 71. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You have done great things. Who is like you, God? Though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. I will praise you with a harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered, My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. Dear Father God, thank you that you are near us in every stage, in every chapter of life. Thank you that we are reminded every day that life is precious. It is not to be wasted or squandered. All of life is to be lived for you and for your glory. Thank you for testimonies, many testimonies we have within our church family and many of us within our physical family of those who ran the race well and have entered into their promised reward. Why would we be here this morning if we didn't want to run our race well and understand the purpose that you have for us? So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, however young you feel today, I think what we all have in common is we're getting older. And young people, you may be tempted to switch off when you saw the title of the message, but do remember that in 2 months' time after summer, you're going to be 2 months older. So we're all aging. In fact, I think there is a chain of clothing stores in America called Forever Young. Forever Young kind of indicates what the culture feels, that it's a great thing to stay forever young. Well, I wonder what the Bible has to say about that, and can we beat the process of aging? Can the Bible help us? When I was seven, two very famous people, one of whom is no longer around, wrote a song. When I get older, losing my hair. Remember it, some of the oldies? Many years from now, will you be sending me a Valentine, birthday greetings, a bottle of wine? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Who wrote that? Right, the Beatles. And who specifically? One's not Paul McCartney, who's still trying to stay young, and John Lennon, who sadly was assassinated. And I think this is what makes the psalm helpful. I don't know if you've studied Psalm 71. It's been on my mind for a couple of days as I've witnessed the loss of my mom and the impact that it has on the family. I mean, it's written by an old man, clearly. A man who's had many, he speaks of bitter troubles. So he's had many troubles, and yet he's a very joyful man. And I think there's the mix of life. And we're not sure who wrote this. Some say Jeremiah wrote it. I'm more inclined to say that David wrote it because it follows Psalm 70, which David writes, and the vocabulary is pretty similar. David, in his lifetime, knew many troubles, the worst of which was his son, who betrayed him. Sometimes family can disappoint us in a way that we don't even imagine. In verse 22, he speaks of the harp and lyre. And in verse 21, he speaks of his greatness having increased. Maybe that was when, after his time of exile from the throne, he was restored to the throne. Here's a psalm, I think, that's for all of us at any stage of life. And please notice, younger people, that David did not wait until his life was over, almost over, to develop his walk with the Lord. David could write this because from a young age he was walking with the Lord. So just 3 points today that revolve around the past and the future and the present. If you are going to get older God's way, and that's what we want, right? You need to see purpose in your past. You need to see purpose in whatever God takes you through. I think the problem with becoming older is that it's easier to see what may not have happened or what is not happening. We all have regrets, and I think the longer you live, there's a sense in which those regrets can be more. But when I read the psalm, it's wonderful to me that David is not living in the room of regret. That's not where he's living, not at all. And as he's looking back, his biography is not about him or his messy past. It was a very messy past, if you've read the life of David. It's about God. And here is someone who's just developed this deepening knowledge of God, and he's getting older, and it's not over, and he keeps going. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. In you, Lord, not in myself. My security isn't in myself. My identity is not ultimately in my family, although I'm grateful for my family. My identity is not in my role as anointed king. In you, Lord, in you, Lord, I've taken refuge. You are my rock and fortress. I wonder if you're here today. It seems to me the older we get, the more we think about destiny. I wonder if you're here and you wonder why you're here and why your past has been the past it has. Did you arrive where you are today just by accident? Or were your parents, your grandparents, the influences, younger people, your education, all planned by your Creator, who's not just bigger than or wiser than any of us, but without whom life cannot make sense? Many years ago, one of the biggest concerts in London, Wembley Stadium, there was a Live Aid concert, and Bob Geldof wrote his biography, and towards the end of his biography, he says, when it was over, some of the young fans at the foot of the platform shouted up to the organizers, "Great concert, loads of people." They shouted up, "Is that it? Is that it?" And Geldof wrote in the final sentence of the book, if I'm going to be honest, it's something I keep asking myself, is that it? All of us today have a past, young or old. Every day, like David, we can look back and say, wow, God was in that. He led me. He kept me. In you, Lord, I've taken refuge. Today you are either getting older, walking with God, who sent a greater king than David, the greater son of David, Jesus, so that we may have a relationship with a Father who is eternal. Either you're walking with this God, or despite hearing about the gospel every day, you're saying another day, another time, another life, younger people, save this message for the older people. How does David age God's way? It can't be because he always got it right. In fact, he speaks of God's righteousness on his behalf, right? Look at verse 19. Your righteousness reaches to the heavens. Nico spoke last week, I think I wasn't here, on Psalm 1. How does David end up as this fruitful tree that is refreshing others? It's because of habits that he's developed in his life. And I single out at least two habits that made him age so well. He keeps on trusting when it's easy and when it's not. There's a repetition in the psalm that helps us to see how important it is to you just keep on trusting. Verse 3, be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Hang on to the word always. Verse 6, I will ever praise you. It's the same word in the Hebrew. Verse 14, I will always have hope. As for me, David says, I will always have hope. That's not always so easy the older you get. Because the older you get, some of you know what I mean, the more aware you become of your weakness. John Wesley was a great preacher. 2 years before he died, when he was 86, he wrote in his diary, Sunday the 28th, 1879, I now find, as I enter my 86th year, that I'm growing old. My sight is decayed. Anybody feel like that? So I cannot read a small print unless it's in a stronger light. My strength is decayed, so I walk much slower than I did a couple of years ago. And then he says, my memory of names, whether of persons or places, isn't what it was. What I'm afraid of is that my body should weigh down my mind and create either stubbornness or irritation because my body isn't what it was. But Lord, he says, you shall answer for me. David says here, verse 9, do not cast me away when I'm old. Don't forsake me when my strength is gone. I was talking to Theo before the service, and I said to him, I guess I took it for granted that my mom was a mom of faith. And if you've had parents like that, or have parents like that, do not forget to thank them while they're still alive. She was stubborn. No ways was she going to go into a center for seniors. After all, she was only 90. But I never realized how much she affected her grandchildren. Listen to how my oldest nephew, Mark, who is a legal advisor, spoke about his teta. Teta is Arabic for gran. He says, originating from Egypt, however, was second to being a Christian to Teta. Her faith was indestructible. When I would go and tell her that any issue had now worked out for the best, She'd look at me knowingly, chastise me for worrying about it, tell me that his timing is perfect and that I should join her in prayer and focus my eyes on above. That is the way I will continue to see her. If you're going to age God's way, however old or young you are, keep on trusting in God, whether it's easy or not. And then keep on praising, whether life is easy or not, whether you're going through dark times or bright times. You see at least five times in the psalm, praise. Verse 6, I will ever praise you. Verse 8, am I this kind of person? My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Verse 14, I will praise you more and more. Verse 22, I will praise you with the harp. And again, verse 22, I will sing praise to you with the lyre. There are some of you here today, and it's not that you don't want to praise God with your life, but rather as you're getting older, you're finding it much easier to count your trials, your challenges, rather than your blessings. I think of my mom's life. I don't think my mom could ever feel entitled because she had to leave her home country as a young wife to go to a country she never knew about. She never really left. Egypt was always in her heart, and she would reminisce. But despite that, she got to a point in her life after my dad died when she wrote down scriptures. I found books with nothing else but scripture. No devotions, books of scripture that she just wrote. And I began to understand why she became more of a colorful person the longer she lived. Same grandson that I mentioned wrote, she would love to laugh and joke and tease while still managing to discuss issues that she knew were on your mind. Instead of saying goodbye, she would often leave you by saying, we had a good laugh today. And he says, grandchild, grandparents, you be like this. He says, we'll all miss laughing with her. This has got everything to do with purpose in life. Because if the chief end of man is to glorify him and enjoy him forever, brothers and sisters, God is not glorified when we are gloomy people. That's why David, in the midst of all of his troubles, his family letting him down, his own son betraying him, his enemies trying to destroy him, says, as for me, I will always have hope and I will praise you more and more. Lord, the older we become, however young we think we are, help us to be people radiant, praising you more and more. See purpose in your past. And then be passionate about the future. Talk about destiny, knowing who you are and why you are where you are. In verse 17, David refers to why he looks forward to the future. He says, since my youth, you've taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Don't forsake me when I'm old and gray. So don't forsake me, whatever age I'm becoming, because I still have a purpose. And you see the purpose there in verse 17, 18, till I declare your power to the next generation. That's why I'm still alive, Lord. That's why you haven't taken me yet. I've got a purpose. I want to declare your mighty acts to all who are to come. Now, we live in a culture where we understand what it means to live thinking of the next generation. So you go shopping and you probably take your own bags and you don't buy plastic bags because you don't want to ruin the environment. You're thinking next generation, or you're watching the carbon footprint because you know you owe it to the next generation. So David, what do you owe to those who come after you? What do you owe to your family? What do you owe to the subjects of your kingdom? Well, I may be old, I may not be able to do what I used to do, but as long as I've got a body and as long as God gives me time, here's my mindset. This is me. I want to use all that I have to prepare younger people to know God. That's it. I find that comforting and challenging because at the very least it says, if life is brief, use it well. Use it well. Look at verse 6. From birth I have relied on you. Now, I don't believe particularly that means that David was always aware that he was a sinner and that he simply had to grow in understanding. I think that what it means is that he learned the importance from a young age of relying upon God. Young people here today, don't miss that if you're young. 10 days ago, we're walking through a memorial park. We're choosing a plot where we're going to lay my mom's body to rest. And I'm walking past the tombstones. And there's a boy who's 17. And there's a picture of a guitar on the tombstone. And I asked the person in the park, what happened to him? He took his own life. Other tombstones there of younger people. I want to say to you with a love in my heart, if you're a younger person today, do not think that tomorrow is always going to come, but use each day for tomorrow. It was David's son Solomon who says, Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. So now is always the right time to embrace Jesus, who only lived to 33 years of age, who died young so that we may have life and live it to the full. I know I'm using last week's memorial service more than perhaps I would like to. But let me share with you, if you're an older person today, we think we live in an age where the older we become, our impact is reduced. If I ever believed that, that was changed completely by last week. Let me share with you what one of the highlights of the tributes was, and some of you have seen it, I sent it to you. Accompanied by his dad, my youngest nephew, Tariq, sang a song that blew everybody away, and he composed it. And he just took the lyrics of a song and changed it to show the impact that his godly grandmother had on his life. Jesus loved her, this I know, for she always told me so. My teta to him belongs. She is weak, but he is strong. Jesus loved her, she who died. Heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away her sin. 7-year-old boy understands that. Let my granny come right in. Yes, Jesus loved her. She always told me so. In his mind, the Jesus whom Gran loved and where she is now is obvious. If your life is brief, use it well. And then isn't this wonderful? It comes out so wonderfully in the psalm. If your life is brief, your age is just right. What is this where we want to be forever young? Or if you're younger, you say, I can't wait till I'm over 20 or over 30. Your age is just right. David can kick back as he's entering old age. He can say, you know, I've tried to serve God. Why all these troubles? And we can say to David, well, you served God well. You know, time to rest. Take a bit of rest. Verse 16, I will proclaim your mighty acts and righteous deeds. Rest is not on my agenda. Key verse 19, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation and your mighty acts to all who are to come. Should challenge us all. But particularly if you're here today and you're older and you're saying, now it's the turn of the younger people. And I've seen older people and we get to a particular age and we begin to think, well, we've done our bit. This should challenge you. This should challenge you. I know there's a debate as to when the pensionable age is here in Belgium, 65 or 67, but where did we find that magic number 65? Where do we find that? What I do find is I'm here to pass the baton on to the next generation. So David is developing a lifestyle of ministry for God. So the very thing that we might say would be a hindrance to him serving his age becomes what God uses so that he may spread the gospel to the next generation. If you're going to get older, God's way. See purpose in your past. Be passionate about the future. And then expect power for the present. This is lovely. If this psalm speaks to why aging shouldn't terrify us, I think the last section, the very last section, is the is the cherry on the top for me. Why can David be so sure that he still has a purpose? Look at verse 17. Who is like you, O God? Though you have made me see troubles many and bitter. So listen to that. Listen to that, Christian, if you're going through troubles that you never dreamed that you would go through. David doesn't say, though Satan has made me see troubles many and bitter, though my circumstances are what they are, though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. He's saying, isn't he, that since all of my present is in your hands, as is the very worst trial that I will ever face, since all of that is in your hands, and I've got a whole record of that fact, anything that comes to me now, anything that comes to me now, however bitter it is, however bitter, it's not my words, it's the word of Scripture, can only end well. It all comes down to this, isn't it? Brother and sister, if God has got you, if he knows what he's up to, he will never let you go. Wherever he takes you, however life may turn out for you. You think of David and Goliath. You think of David on the run from Saul. You think of David betrayed by Absalom. You think of David sinning even and then being chastised as he loses his baby. Is he bitter? At every stage, he sees that God hasn't been absent. God is in the details of my life to make me into who I am now in this very chapter of life. I couldn't help but think of my mom slipping into eternity. 2 days before she dies, she gets pneumonia. And the day before she dies, she has an enormous lunch, I've been told. And the nurses said she was fighting until the end. Well, that's my mom. She's a fighter. And then, peaceful, shortly after 5, the next day her heart fails. She slips into the presence of the Lord. It's a life of knowing the Lord and then the joy of entering into his presence. So the very worst moment that we fear that will come to all of us if Jesus doesn't come before then, the very worst moment that you fear becomes the best for anyone who has lived to make the gladness of God known in this world. Look at verse 21. You will increase my honor and you will comfort me once more. Can I ask you, think of your life, think of what has brought you the greatest comfort in life or what gives you the greatest comfort. If you're a Christian today, what can be the greatest honor and comfort but to be in the presence of Jesus? If you're a Christian, is this not what your heart is longing for? And when you've seen the goodness of God over 90 years, when you've seen his care as he's put you into another country, when you've raised up 5 boys, when you feel your weakness and you lose your husband, and you're aware that all of it, all of this life is a preparation for the only thing that matters. The only thing that matters. When you stand in the presence of Jesus without shame and overwhelmed with joy. So why should you not fear aging, dear Christian? Why should you determine to live each day to the full and to the glory of God? Why should you not jump to conclusions when the dream you have for yourself doesn't seem to work? The Lord of trouble, the Bible says, is the Lord of revival. The Lord who allows us to see troubles many and bitter will use all of them for the next chapter and ultimately for that moment when he presents us to the Father and says, be proud of her, be proud of him because you see me in them. And I have to end with Jesus because Jesus never got to 90 years old. And if you want to talk about troubles and sorrows, many and bitter, if you look at the life of Jesus, he had more sorrows and trouble packed into his years than the rest of the world if each of us had 100 lives to live. Was Jesus' life wasted? Was Jesus a victim? The greater Son of David went to the cross by the hand of his Father. He could say, "You've made me see many and bitter troubles, but from the depths of the earth you will again bring me up, so that we who know and love him live in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ today." Which means that whether you're old or young, whether you're 19 or 90 years old, the safest place to be, the greatest place to be, is exactly where God has put you now. With Jesus as your righteousness, your rock, your refuge. Does that make you want to say amen? Then let's say it. Amen. What a wonderful shepherd. What a wonderful Lord. Help us, dear Father, to get older your way. Let's pray. Thank you that we come to you, Lord, in every chapter of life. Thank you that we don't come to a God who makes mistakes. Thank you that we come to the ultimate God of relationship. We come to the God who knows what it is to lose. But we come to the God who also knows what it is not just to lose a son, but to bring life out of death. And today we have every reason to be confident if we know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Confident that we are exactly where you want us to be. Confident that if we know and love you and, like David, are seeking to deepen our knowledge of you, you will be our God to the very end. For those of you who are younger here today, take a moment or two in the quietness of your hearts to thank God if God has given you godly parents and grandparents. Ask the Lord to show you how you as a younger person can be a blessing to them. And for those of us who might be inclined to develop a lifestyle of grumbling more than praising you, the older we become, help us in our hearts to resolve to be just like David, just like the man who wrote this psalm, so that we may bring laughter and refreshment and Jesus Christ into the lives of others, and we'll be careful to give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
And I will trust in you, O Lord. your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home.
And I will trust.
And I will trust.
Father, is there anything more that we could ask of that because we have trusted in you to know that your endless mercy will follow us like sheepdogs, your goodness and your mercy till we come to our eternal home. And as we go into this world, a world of danger, a world of challenges and trials, help us to understand that we are not alone, that through your grace, if we know and love you, you are taking care of every detail. Walking with us, walking with your people into the future. And now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus the Son, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with all of those who know him and who love him, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Well, please be seated.